The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we continue with the opening sentences. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose help is in the name of God. We sing our opening hymn. We stand for the confession and absolution. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. As we have heard God's word, let us confess our sins, confident of his grace, mercy, and forgiveness. We give thanks, Lord Jesus, for apostles and martyrs who have gone before us. We confess that we have not always made a clear witness to the salvation you won for us in your death and resurrection. Forgive us and give us opportunities to witness to you the way, the truth, and the life. We give thanks, Heavenly Father, that you graciously call us your holy nation, your royal priesthood.
We confess.
Forgive us and strengthen us to walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. We give thanks, O Holy Spirit, that you have worked faith in our hearts so that we may approach the throne of grace with every petition. We confess too often we seek to bend our will to ours, failing to trust not only the place you have prepared for us in eternity, but also for that which is best for us today. Forgive us and open our hearts to receive your answers, which are always better than our prayers. God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are his own people, thanks to the grace and mercy that is ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. As a commissioned servant of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, revealed your eternal love for all people. Grant that we may confidently ask whatever we need in his name and also proclaim him as the way, the truth, and the life through the same Jesus Christ who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as the first two lessons are read.
Good morning. The first reading comes from Acts 6, 1 through 9, 7, 2a, 51 through 60. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complement by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and 6 others. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedom, as it was called, and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of course those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law has delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into the heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of the young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The psalm appointed for this Sunday is Psalm 146. We read it responsively. "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord."
The epistle reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for their pure spiritual milk, and by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by man, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you do not know him and have not seen him." Philip said to him, "Show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, do I not speak on my own authority? But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. The greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated as we sing the hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Mother's Day, and today we honor not only all mothers, but all women in general. They have a tough job. You see, neither children nor husbands come with instruction manuals. One experienced mother was overheard to say, "Before I was married, I had three viable theories on raising children. Now I have three children and no viable theories on how to raise them." Being a mom is kind of a messy job. So today it's appropriate and right that we pause to honor our mothers and our wives and women in general. At the same time, I know that there may be some of you who don't see today as necessarily a happy day. A lot of us have lost our mothers and they have gone before us, and so we might remember them with some sadness. Perhaps your relationship with your mother was not as good as you would like to have had it be. Perhaps it was not what you had desired your relationship to be like. Or perhaps you wanted to be a mother and that has just never happened just yet for you. In biblical times, society was mostly patriarchal. That is, the men were in charge, and women were certainly not, and they were placed in a secondary position. And so as I began to contemplate what I might say today, I thought, well, what does the Bible have to say about women? One source that I went to suggested over 100 verses in the Bible that speak to or about women. And I'm happy to say that in spite of that patriarchal society of the time, women are held in high esteem in the Bible. It began when God saw Adam in the Garden of Eden, and he said, "It's not good that man should be alone." And God said, "It is, therefore I will make a helper for him." In the Old Testament, accounts of Ruth and Deborah and Esther reveal that women had wisdom and were dedicated to the church and to their faith. In the New Testament, accounts of Dorcas and Priscilla and Lois and Eunice reveal that women were highly regarded and very important in the early Christian church. Many of the verses that we read in the Bible about women come from the book of Proverbs. In chapter 12, we read, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband." In Proverbs 18, we read, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And in 19, I like this one, the author says, "House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." The text that I am preaching on today is Proverbs chapter 31, and I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but I'm going to read some selected verses from it. That chapter gives further testimony to the great value that God places on women of faith. King Lemuel is considered to be the author and the person who is speaking in that chapter. And he begins in verse 10 by saying, "Who can find an excellent wife?" And then he goes on to describe the great value that God places on having a wife of faith. And he answers that question by saying, "Because an excellent wife is more precious than jewels." In those days, jewels had great value. Sapphire and onyx and crystal were things that were very expensive and come by only with great deal and at great expense. And so as we read through chapter 31 in Proverbs, we see that it is a description of the value of a Christian wife and mother. So the answer to my question, what does the Bible have to say about women, is really that women have great value and are to be greatly treasured. Women are to be highly valued because God made them special. Eve was taken from Adam's rib, not from the dust of the ground, which would have made her a completely separate individual. She was made from Adam's rib, meaning that they were actually created from the same being, each being half of the whole person. It meant that she was made of the same stuff. It meant that she was every bit a part of the initial creation that God had made in his image. She was designed to be a suitable helper for him, and it meant that she was co-equal with Adam. I did come across something else that I haven't thought about before, and nobody had ever pointed out. That word helpmeet that we read in the King James Version is never translated as either assistant or servant or minion or subordinate. It is translated in all other instances as a powerful and extensive support. That word helpmeet is always translated and is used to describe things like dominant military forces. And in other passages, that same word is used to describe the potent interventions and deliverances of God himself. Woman was therefore created to complement the man. She was created as an integral part of man. And she was created as a powerful and influential companion for man. And there's one more thing I want to point out that I had not come across before, but I think it's at least interesting to think about. That Hebrew word that's translated as rib, that Eve is created out of, you remember God placed Adam in a sleep and took his rib and created Eve. That Hebrew word that's used in Genesis 2 is also used in other parts of the Old Testament. Where it is used in other parts of the Old Testament, the word is used to describe the side of the Ark of the Covenant. It's used to describe the side of the altar. It's used to describe the side of the tabernacle. Using that meaning, we might wonder how much of Adam's side did God use anyway? Did he use just Adam's rib? Or did he take an entire side of Adam and create Eve? That raises the possibility that Eve could have been fashioned more than from just Adam's rib. And it would add to or change how we think about statements that we read in the Old Testament. You remember the first thing that Adam said after he saw Eve was, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And if God used an entire half of Adam, that seems to make more sense. And it also makes more sense out of the words that Jesus used when he said, "And the two shall become one flesh." It makes us think differently about that. Regardless of whether God created Eve from Adam's rib or used an entire half of him, we still know that God created Eve to be a complement and to complete the man, that the two would become one. She was created to be beside the man, never above him, never below him. And the value of women, too, is seen in their service to their families and to others. Proverbs 31, and I would encourage you to go read that after services, lists more than a dozen different things that the ideal woman does for her husband and for her family and for her children. Now, ladies, before you jump on me for saying that, and you say, "I don't have the time to do all of those things. I'm not a perfect human being. I can't get all of those things done. I am certainly not that excellent wife that King Lemuel describes." You still have to admit that there are a lot of things that you do each day for your family. And those things are done in service to Christ as part of your Christian calling to be a wife and a mother. It means you have great value. In verse 28, King Lemuel goes on to say, "And her children will rise up and call her blessed for all she does for her family." And in verse 23, he says, "Her husband will be happy, a happy man as he enjoys the blessings of this gift God has given to him." And so today it is important that husbands and children place a high value on the precious gift that God has given them in terms of the wife and the mother that they have. It's important that they do, that we do, everything that we can to make mothers and wives as happy and fruitful in this abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ. But we live in a broken world. And because there is such a thing as sin, there's not such a thing as a perfect wife. And I quickly add, there's no such thing as a perfect man either. Paul says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Some women may feel uncomfortable when they read that text that I talked about in Proverbs 31, because as they read through those things, they say, "Golly, there's no way I can do all of those things. I am certainly not an example of an excellent or a virtuous woman that Proverbs 31 describes." But there's good news for you. There's good news for all of us. It is that God loves us just the way you are. God loves you, ladies, because you are who you are. He doesn't happen to notice all of the flaws that you have, the roles that you have, the wrinkles that you might have, and whatever else you see as being unattractive. God forgives everyone of their sins for Jesus' sake, and uses us all in ways that are beyond our human understanding and in ways that we can't grasp in terms of time. He uses us to strengthen Christian homes and to extend his eternal kingdom that we know as the Holy Christian Church. And so today, may God help us to always give thanks for each other, and especially today that we give thanks for Christian women on this Mother's Day. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing our next hymn. We offer our gifts to God, acknowledging that all we have comes from Him. Please stand for the prayers of the church. Lord God, in your word we read, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you will find." And so we pray for all your people and for all people according to their needs. Merciful Jesus, Son of Mary, we give thanks for the gift of life you have given us through our mothers. On this day we ask your special blessing on all mothers, wives, and women everywhere who have done their very best and sacrificed so much for us. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, we lift up those who call out to you today in distress of body, mind, or spirit, who suffer physical ills, emotional pain, fear, or depression. We ask that you look with favor and hear our plea for those people we name before you now. We pray especially for Paula, Dan, Sue, Jerry, Audrey, Jocelyn, Piper, and Norm. And we pray for those who cannot be with us today, Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Fred, Denny, Karen, and Marion. Comfort each of these by the presence of the Holy Spirit and remind them of the certainty of the joy they have in eternal life through faith in you. Use us to minister to each of these in their times of need. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your church needs both lay and clergy leaders to faithfully serve you and the people of the world. We give you thanks for the spiritual gifts that you have given each of us here today, and pray that you will lead us to ways in which we might strengthen those gifts and use them to your glory. Open our eyes to recognize all the resources available to us so that your word may be spread and souls brought to your saving grace and salvation. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, when we see Stephen's bold witness even unto death, graciously recognize that your church is facing opposition and persecution in many places around the world. Protect and guide your people everywhere so that the gospel might be proclaimed and so that they may nevertheless announce Jesus as the only way, the truth, and the life. Risen Lord, in your mercy. When we hear your name, Lord Jesus, that your followers will do great things, we know that we need your strength and guidance so that we may do your will in all our various callings. Protect the armed forces of our country as they seek to protect us. Guide emergency and medical personnel as they bring about healing and relief. Bless farmers and merchants and musicians and artists elected and volunteer leaders in our community. May they enable us all to rejoice and give thanks for you for each day. Risen Lord, in your mercy. We pray for these things and all things we should have asked of you, O Lord, so grant us by your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. If there are announcements, please come forward. None? Ann has been helping the guy who comes to tune our piano. Do you want to tell them a little bit about some of the things that he's done?
He tuned it, and he also did what they call voicing. And in order to keep it tuned and in voice, it needs to be played. So we were talking about organ as opposed to piano, and we thought we would ask what you would prefer, or does it matter? Just keep in mind, you invested in the piano, so we should probably use the piano once in a while.
So let us know, do you want to hear the piano more, the organ more, do you want to hear a mix? And the other question that we had was, the piano might sound better if it's open. And so let's open the piano, and for our closing hymn, we'll let you listen to it that way, and then let us know what you think. Do you want it open, or is that too loud? I don't know. Well, yeah, well, the question is, does the piano being open block somebody's view of the altar and of me, and nobody needs to see me anyway, so.
You could turn it a little bit, and then it wouldn't be, it would go this way instead.
Do we just pull this off?
You don't get a choice of part or all, it's all. There's no in between. Some pianos have
Okay, do we just lift?
You lift like under there, and there's going to be a stick on the side. And it has a spot, it has to be.
Right there.
So it doesn't have a, sometimes there's another one, but this piano doesn't.
Yeah, some pianos have just a short stick that you can open it just a little ways with. Before we start, I want to call your attention to a movie that is going to be seen over in Corvallis on the 22nd, I think, of June. There's an announcement in the bulletin. It's a special movie about Martin Luther. A couple of our sister churches have gotten together to organize that. And the only place you can buy tickets is online. And the instructions on doing that are in the bulletin today. For those of you that don't have the capability to get online, let me know, and I'll help you get those tickets. So that's coming up in June. I think the 22nd is a Thursday night, and it's part of the 500th anniversary of the celebration of the Reformation. So questions or comments? Okay, let's close our sing our closing hymn.
Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.